And welcome back to Coast, Kadrick Olson with us as we're talking about the paranormal side of the world. And he, of course, will take your phone calls and questions this hour. And if you do want to talk to him about a dearly departed loved one or friend, he'll need names and a specific question about the paranormal, and he'll run with it. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Kadrick Olson with us. Kadrick, what's the best way for people to dabble with the paranormal, or should they even do that?
The best way to do is I operate off of a maxim that similarities attract and perpetuate. And that means if you're going to grab a Ouija board after watching a scary movie thinking you're going to get something scary, then you will. But if you get a Ouija board and you set yourself into sacred space, you meditate for a while and you connect with your higher self and your higher energies, and you go into the situation with the intention of working with higher level beings to get and receive and convey higher level information, then that's what you're going to get. So go into it with a proper set and setting so that you get the best exact results that you need out of it.
You know that little voice we sometimes hear in our heads that say, you don't do this, do that. How do we know that it's one, some entity, or maybe our own self communicating with ourselves? How do we know that it's not our imagination?
You know, most of the time it's not our imagination. I've been shown that 90% of the thoughts that go through our mind are not self-originated. And part of the training that I do with clients and other professionals that I work with is I teach them how to find their inner observer so that they can become aware of that little voice in their head to determine if it is self-originating or if it is externally originated so that they can then choose what they want to do, knowing that information.
All right, let's take some calls here. Let's go to Joe in Monterey, California. Hi, Joe.
Thank you for taking my call, George.
You're welcome, Joseph. Thank you.
Yeah, last night was a good show, too.
They're all good shows, Joe. They're all good.
Well, they're all unique as well, not just good. Your guest tonight is very interesting. I do the work I do what he does, but not the way he does it. I do very advanced work. And I deal with psychic attack from other people. I do exorcism, all types. And he's right about talking to them. I know that he knows that in exorcisms, when they send these souls back to hell, that's not the right way to do it. You offer them the light. And you can talk to them into the light, and they will go into the light, and they will be free, and they will start their recycle, their incarnation cycle again. My question is, because I deal with all types of psychic attack and I deal with all different problems that people have, what do you do, or what does he know of or heard of that can stop psychic attack that is impossible to stop?
It's a good question,
now,
Joe.
I'll tell you what I'm dealing with easily.
Yes.
These are extraterrestrials who, like you said, it is the nature of the beast, so to speak. And this is their nature, and this is what they do. Now, there are other ET races that are bad, but they're breaking spiritual law, and they know it, and they know that they're crossing the line. But there are types of life forms that this is the nature of the beast. So we do know about that. Yes, and you're right about that, too, by the way. Oh, we have access to all the spiritual hierarchies, armies of God. So we've done all that route, and yes. So go ahead.
Absolutely, and thank you for saying that you don't send the spirits to hell for the torment. You give them the light. That's absolutely true, because that's the work that they're needing, is that redemption and the place to go to. Now, what you're saying to do with this impervious attack, become impervious to these attacks, that's actually one of the questions and the topics that's come up from my whispers, my teachers and guides, to know that we exist on multiple levels of reality that can be differentiated by frequencies of mind and frequencies of consciousness. And that if we are going to, let's just say, wallow in negative energies, negative frequencies like anguish and fear, then the entities who live off of that, we are part of their reality. They can see us. They can experience that. And when I teach paranormal investigators and other people that one of the interesting things that they could do if they see that dark mass forming, and I'm going to use this as a metaphor, and we'll get there.
Sure.
If they see that dark mass forming that is definitely malicious of intent, instead of going, oh, my God, what are you going to do, is you go, wow, you exist? That's really cool. What kind of a being are you? By shifting into that state of awe and wonder, you are excelling yourself into a higher state of frequency of mind and existence. And if that thing had intentions of attacking you, it's almost now you suddenly don't exist because you're not on its frequency level. It's you're now in another layer of reality where it cannot find you. Now, the intuitive hit that I got when you were describing these alien beings that persist in their attack on you was another technique that I teach in accordance with this. I have a kind of a tongue-in-cheek name for it, is don't think of the elephant.
Well, how'd you come up with that?
Well, George, if I ask you not to think of an elephant, what are you going to do?
Think of an elephant.
You're going to think of an elephant. And so let's say a paranormal investigator has had a pretty exhilarating experience at a site, and they want to be sure that they're free from attack and that nothing can harm them. I have them not think of the elephant, meaning to think of a lot of other things. You see, the brain can only process 3 to 5 things at one time. And if you give your brain enough to focus on, like you're mindful, you find one thing to look at, another thing to listen to, and you're thinking about that, and then you're counting the number of thoughts you're having, you're overloading your brain with thoughts other than what you had on the experience. You're now tuning out that experience. Now, when it comes to attack from these beings, when you are sensing that attack coming in and you're aware of that attack, do the mind overload thing. Become present in the moment. Look at the things around you. Feel the air around you. Listen to the sounds. Overload the mind with those 3 to 5 things other than what the attack is. And if you can make them of a higher level resonance, meaning when you go back to the awe and wonder thing, if you're looking at the pattern on the rug and noticing the intricate detail of the weave on there, you can move into a state of awe, and then you can count the number of weavings that are in there. You're overloading the brain. You're moving it into a higher state of frequency, and those entities that are trying to persist with their attack now have no venue to get into your mind because your mind is now loaded up with these other things, even of a higher level nature. It may seem mundane that you're looking at the carpet, looking at the weave, but what matters is the emotional input into your consciousness that creates this energy barrier. And the more you do that and the more you connect with that and you don't think of the elephant, you don't think of the attack, then the attack no longer is there. It's going to take a few times to get, because the more they've done this, the more they've created that pathway into the mind and into the consciousness that's easy for them to seep into. So you're going to need to be persistent. You're going to need to be consistent with this over and over and over. And eventually that contact point is going to erode. They're going to lose interest and they're going to move on. But you got to keep at it.
Yeah, you can't give up. Once you give up or let your guard down, that's it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Next up, let's go to Kelly in the state of Washington. Welcome to the program. Hi, Kelly.
Good evening. Thank you so very much for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling. And what can we do for you?
Well, I lost my mother 6 years ago, and I lost my sister 5 years ago.
Oh, my.
I want to know if they're together and if there's...
All right. What was mom's name?
Carol.
And your sister?
Karen.
All right. Do what you do, Kedrick.
All right. I'm tuning in here. Carol and Karen, tell me a little bit about what did they used to do in their life? How did they connect together?
Well, Karen never had any kids. She could always tend to mom. Mom got cancer first. Karen got cancer first, and then mom followed. And, They were very, very connected in life, so it was not a surprise to us when Karen decided to stop dialysis, and she had already had both her legs amputated at that point, and just kind of give up and go be with mom. And I never got the feeling that they were together, and I'm just wondering.
You know those moments when you're in bed wondering and thinking, and maybe you feel that slight touch or even something in your hair, like something's moving your hair a little bit?
Yes, because I have very, very long hair, so it happens quite often.
That's them. That's them saying, hey, we're here, we're connected.
Almost like a wind or something like that, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of like a wind, kind of like that touch. They're there, and I'm trying to pick up on some kind of activity, but I'm not quite catching it. They're doing their school. Okay. They are, I'm trying to pick up on the activity that they were doing, and I wasn't quite clearly seeing it. They're basically doing a new level of school together. They're learning, really? They're learning to come back as sisters in the next lifetime. How interesting is that?
That is very interesting.
There's still some healing going on. I'll have to say that your mother is still working on doing some healing. So what you can do is, this is one of the things that the spirits have asked me to convey messages, is sometimes we get a little bit stuck on the sorrow of how they passed and maybe the suffering towards the end of their life. And we're unfortunately contributing to that energy when we think about the sorrow and the sadness. And so they've asked me to help people to focus on the wonderful times that you've had together, the wondrous moments. Like, you can remember the time when they were vibrant and full of life and full of joy. And the more you can focus on those moments and remember those moments, the more they are actually going to be in those moments with you. Because time on the other side doesn't work the way it works over here. For them, a memory could be just as real as a moment to us. And so when you're remembering those happy moments, you're helping her with the healing energy. And I'm not saying that you're locking her in this unhealed state. I'm saying that's one of the things she's working through for herself. But the thing that you can do to help her go through the healing that she needs to go through for herself is remember those happy, joyous, wonderful moments and say, I love you, Mom. I send you healing and love so that you can help move on to that stage. Because that's part of what's keeping them from moving through this school together, is she needs to finish up this little bit of healing. So there was something to do with the cancer when she was dying. There was some fragmentation of the soul that happens. There's some sorrow and some sadness, and that can go along with it. And so she's needed to get to a place where she's safer and more comfortable feeling to bring some of those hurt parts back. And when she's feeling more safe and integrated and whole, then the two of them will reincarnate as little girls. They're going to be twins.
Oh, how about that? And how much is the healing for the dead or the living, Kadrick?
It's both. You know how we have that saying that I was close to my father or my brother and I were really close, that sort of thing? It's absolutely true with the spirit world. There is no sense of time or space. If you were close with your father when he was alive, you're close with your father now. And so whatever feelings you have and whatever thoughts and memories you have, he's living that and he's feeling that as part of the afterlife, part of the afterlife experience. It's not the same as we have here as linear time. It's just a part of it. And so the more we can spend thinking of those wondrous moments and those happy times, the more we're giving them the happy energy to help them heal and move and help us heal and move on, too.
Let's go out to Indiana. Bob's with us. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Happy Easter weekend.
You too, Bob. Go ahead.
Real quick, a couple years ago, I woke up one morning. I have a gun cabinet in my bedroom. It has a glass front.
Okay.
And there's an image of an angel, not the ones that you see all the time. This is a man. You can tell it's a man. It's a profile from the waist up. It's a side view of a man. You can tell it's a man. He's got muscles on his arms and big chest. And he's got wings on his back. And you can tell it's a guy. It's not a female angel. And how did that get on my glass?
And what did it do? Fade away eventually?
It's still there, and I'm not going to wipe it off.
Really? Can you take a picture of it and send it to me?
I've got it.
I'd love to see it. George@coasttocoastam.com. How does that happen, Kedrick?
A lot of different ways. And what's funny is when you're describing this one, and I cannot reconcile this yet, but I got the flash of actually a little boy spirit fascinated by guns and gunslingers. And he was looking up at the guns going, wow, that reminds me of this or that. I got that like clear as day. I got the whole goosebump rush and the gut flutters and everything that told me this was an intuitive hit. And then the impression of the angel, it's like a projection from him. It's what's coming. I don't understand how this is working, and I can't explain this one, but it's like he's projecting that onto the guns and the gun case. So it's, I don't get how this is working. And I'm sorry, this is weird for me to see this and this expression, but you're almost experiencing the image that the boy has of gunslingers and the people who carry guns, and the image is showing up as like his angel, that he is seeing what an angel would be like as the protective form of guns. So he's seen that those guns as protecting and saving and keeping people safe, and that there's a sense of adoration and admiration that comes from having that gun case there. And it's just that little boy's way, it's that little boy's way of saying that's how he sees you.
If we get that picture from Bob, I will make sure Tom gets a copy of that, Kedrick, to you. I think you'd love to see that, huh?
Wow, yeah, that was interesting how that weird. I was not expecting it to go that direction at all. I hope that helps.
Some people say angels don't have wings. Do they or do they not?
You know, that's a very interesting question. And the way I'm going to respond to that one is yes and no, depending on the observer. And what I mean by that is we have these narratives and these stories and these great mythologies that we all tell ourselves in different cultures and different lands and different worlds. And when the beings come to us, these ascended beings, it comes to us as like a neutral transmission of information. And we have to make sense of that with our minds, with the stuff that we understand. And so if an angelic being comes into the room and you have somebody who will see this as a great ascended master, as a teacher, it may come as a robed figure. But another person who would see this ascended being as an angel with wings and a halo, then their mind is going to interpret that exact same information as an angelic entity. And they're both right. This entity will come in and appear in a form that makes the most sense to you so that you can understand what it is so that you can have a better means of contact and communication.
Kedrick, spell out for folks your website, if you would.
Sure. It's kaedrich.com.
.com. And your book, Runes for Transformation, available where?
Everywhere. It's on Amazon. It's at your favorite local bookstore. You can get it everywhere. It's published by Weiser.
Super. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls with Kedrick. Those of you on hold, we'll do our best to get to you first, of course. And then next hour, we'll have open lines for you, plus a special hotline number. Call any line you want. In addition to your open line calls, I want to know if you have gotten the COVID-19 vaccine and how you're doing. Did you have a reaction to it? Was it easy, simple? Just a question I'm throwing out to you in addition to open lines. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Kedrick Olson, as we are talking about the paranormal and the other side. We'll get to your calls as well. Kedrick, is there a hell, in your opinion?
In an interesting way, yes. And when I was younger, my guides, the Whisperers, took me to this place, but it's not quite what you think. Imagine a field full of people that seem to be just staring off into space, lost in thought, oblivious to the world around them. Meanwhile, there are other people just kind of hanging out, watching them. Now, what's going on is inside these minds of these people are the torment and the torture that they feel that they need to have, that they must endure because of whatever went on in their life. And around them are little whispers that when a person wakes up for a glimmer, just a moment of, like, does it have to be like this all the time? A whisper will come over and go, maybe it doesn't. Is there something more you could do? And then little by little, maybe they can come out of this tormented, awful place that they're in so that they can go and really have the redemption that they need to do and do the reparations in the world that needs to happen. But as for a place of eternal torment where there is no redemption, where there's nothing, I've never experienced anything like that. It's more of what something is, a person is putting on themselves, and then they can heal out of that.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's start by going west of the Rockies. Mike is with us in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Michael. Good. Go ahead, Mike.
So now I do believe in afterlife because I got through.
Yes, you did.
So my mother actually just passed away 2 years ago on Easter.
Oh, my. I'm sorry to hear that.
And my grandmother a couple of years and my father. So I'm an orphan now, but with my mother and my grandmother, a couple things really, I don't know, say phenomenal happened when they passed. So when my mother was going from cancer, I hope I'm saying this term right, they got modeling. Are you too aware of that term?
What do you mean by that?
So when hospice was in, their skin will start like dying off.
Okay.
It'll change color. I guess they call it like modeling.
Yes,
and once they see that, they usually give that person 24 hours to live.
Ah, okay. I did not know that.
Say on Thursday, she got it. She goes, all right, let's get everybody together. The next day, it all disappeared. She looked amazing, like she wasn't sick at all, and then died on Easter.
Wow. What was her name, Mike?
Gail.
Gail, okay. And your grandmother died how soon after that or before that?
She was before.
Okay.
A couple years before.
And what was her name?
Her name was Betty.
Betty. So we've got Betty and Gail. Kadrick.
And what is it you're looking to reconnect with them? What is it you're looking with them?
Just, I don't know. See how... Say hello.
See how they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. They are definitely there. They're not dealing with cancer symptoms anymore. And it's interesting when you were describing the skin modeling, that the impression that I got was like, imagine a white light going over the skin, smoothing it out and purifying it. And then you described how she looked nice and healthy before passing, or not nice and healthy, but you know what I mean? It was clear. And that's exactly the impression. Ooh. Your grandmother is now looking younger. She's presenting as younger. And what is this about puzzles? Can you tell me about puzzles?
Puzzles?
Oh, yeah. We were big puzzles together.
Yeah.
How about that?
So she's saying that you can still reconnect with her by doing puzzles.
Wow.
That's one of their favorite things that she wants to do with you.
Well, if those puzzle pieces move by themselves, though, I'd really freak out.
Yeah, she helped raise me. But when she passed, and this will take 2 seconds, my aunt was taking care of her. And at 3:14 in the morning, my aunt woke up, had this dream saying, don't worry now, she's with me, she's okay. She got really scared of this dream and ran over to her and checked on her. She was fine. The next day, she passed away at 3:14.
Wow.
The spirit knows when it's time to go.
Synchronicity.
The body can linger a little bit. And dreams are beautiful because they are our way of sort of disconnecting with the physical and getting a little bit more to the spiritual. And it is a great way for the recently deceased to connect with us. My father did it right after he died, and I know so many other people that when after a loved one dies, they show up in a dream. And, you know, dreams can be whatever they are, but when a loved one shows up in a dream right after that, says, hey, we're doing great, things are progressing fine, then definitely take that as a sign that they're passing and that they are being cared for and that the crossing over is going smoothly and wonderfully.
Well, that's great to hear, because I did have one, and I cried my eyes out. I woke up crying.
Yep. They can be definitely sad when you realize that's exactly what's going on. And
it just hits at one time.
What's that?
I think it just hits all at one time when you're not
aware
of it.
Oh, sure does. Sure does.
Absolutely. And I think it's, even though it's sad to know that your loved one is dying or that they were dying, it's just a beautiful way for them to just reach out and say, hey, I still exist and everything is going okay. I love you and we'll still be together.
Thanks for the call, Mike. I really appreciate it. You touch a lot of souls, Kadrick. You know that?
Yes, I appreciate it. And you're helping me to touch even more souls here today. And I'm so grateful for that one. You know, my friends, Nick and Sylvie out there, they're enjoying the heck out of this. So thank you.
Great, great. Well, you know, when we met in Boulder, I made that promise to you to get you on. You did such a great job on the TV show. So here you are.
Oh, thank you, man. I'm really happy.
We'll take a few more calls. This clock is, you could probably go for 10 hours doing this, Kadrick.
Well, I'll get a little burnout, you know. It's cold, but yes.
You got tomorrow to rest up, right?
Oh, not really. It's a kid's birthday tomorrow.
Oh, really? How old?
She's turning 19.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Let's go to Long Beach, Mississippi, I guess. Patricia's with us. Hi, Patricia. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, George, for taking my call. And hi, Kadrick. My mother, Mary Ann, just passed away 3/11/21.
Oh, my.
And I tried so hard to bring her home, but it's like my siblings. And she wanted to come home. And it's just kind of heartbreaking. I've been crying a lot. I know she knows I love her, but I'd like to tell her I love her. And I just want to know, is there anything that I need to know or anything I need to do?
Yes, this is absolutely a beautiful time that you can help her out immensely, because the crossing over period can be a little confusing. It's a little disorienting because we're used to linear time. We're used to cause and effect and things just making sense in our world here. They're going into a different place where their life is a spectrum of existence. And so time kind of fluctuates back and forth. Things aren't quite as solid and focused and crisp as they're used to being here. And so what you can do is definitely, again, remember some of those wonderful times that you had together.
Yes.
Center those energies, knowing that she's got her guardian angels and that you have your angels too. You're all, they can work together. And so you can send your love and your healing energy, the love and wonder that you feel for her now, send it to your angels and your guides to send to her guides and angels so that that can help her go through the whole transition process and make it through smoothly. Now, the other thing that you can do, and this is maybe a little bit of the harder thing for us to do, is I know she meant a lot to you. I know that you loved her so much. But the more you can say goodbye and let her transition out of your daily life and that, you know, you wanted her back home, but the more you can just let her transition as if she's moving on into another life, into another place, you know, literally to let go, it will help her to move on too. Because when we like to hold on, when we say, Mom, I wish you were here, I miss you so much, I love you, I wish you were here, they want to be there too. She wants to be there with you, she doesn't really want to go, she wants to stay there too, and that could delay and maybe add some hiccups to the crossing over and the healing that she needs to do. So it is important for you to do your grieving, to feel your sense of loss, your sorrow, your sadness, everything that you feel for grieving, and to let her go too so that she can grow in her healing process. It will help both of you to do that.
How does that feel, Patricia?
Is she there with you?
She's not here with me. She is making the transition right now, and my guides have actually kind of poked me and say, no, don't interfere. Let her have this transition right now. She needs to sort some things out. So,
and when you talk about the transition, how long does that normally take, Kadrick?
By our terms, there's no way of knowing. For some people, it's instant. And here's how it helps to be instant. Is in your lifetime, if you're doing your spiritual work, If you're working to ascend yourself to a higher state of spiritual awareness, if you can get out of body experiences and, you know, like remote viewing and that sort of thing, the transition is going to be pretty smooth and easy for you, because you know what you're going to be doing when you're out of the body. You'll be like, oh, great, body's gone. I'm free. I know where I'm at. I'm here. You're able to move it. But if you're clinging to life, you don't know what's there, you don't believe in the afterlife, and you're just like, no, 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 I don't want this to happen, I would need to stick around, and you're going to have a tougher time transitioning. And it's even harder for people who really feel that they deserve some sort of punishment or some sort of torment for the life that they lived. They're going to have a harder time transitioning. And I'm even sorry to say, but when people who die on substance overload, their consciousness, their mind is in a confused, lost state. And sometimes it's a little bit harder for them to transition too, because their mind is still trying to figure out what's going on. They're a little bit more confused. And so it's even more valuable for us to really connect with those wondrous times and send them wondrous healing energy to help build some coherence of consciousness, so to help them with that transition process. So it could be instant for some. It could take a while for others.
We'll have time for one more quick call here, Kedrick. Let's go east of the Rockies. Dave in Florida. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hey. I'm calling today to see if my sons would come through.
You lost both of them, huh?
Yes, I did.
And what were their names, Dave?
David Jr., we called him DJ, and Jacob.
Jacob. Okay, Kedrick, we've got just a couple minutes left for you.
How old were they when they passed?
25 and 26.
Oh, my God. What was it, like a car accident or something, Dave?
No, it was Jake was a medical thing, and DJ had epilepsy.
Now, what is it that I'm seeing about a kite?
A kite?
What does that have to do with kites? Did they ever do kite flying or something together? That was a really weird image. It was like an orange kite that I saw. And now a car. And now a car. I don't know. The images are a little jumbled. It was a medical thing, and you said epilepsy?
Epilepsy for one, and the other one got sick.
Yeah, I am not picking up anything on the illnesses at all with them. That's interesting. That's like they're not even bothering with that. The kite came back again. They're doing something with a kite. Oh, they're telling you to watch out for a kite, especially if you see that orange kite. That's a little bit of a
little message from them.
Yeah, a little message that they're there. What is this?
You sound baffled on this one, Kim.
Yeah, I'm a little baffled on this one. They're not giving me a real clear image of what's going on. They keep going back to childhood days. And I know you said they were in their 20s, but I am not picking up anybody in their 20s. I'm picking up little kids playing, like they're playing with cars, like toy cars. They're playing with a kite, and they're just being little kids again.
Did they play a lot together, David, when they were little? There he is. David, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Did they play a lot together when they were small?
Yes, they did. I
think they're still doing that. I think, they're young souls. That's why. They're young souls.
Now, what's a young soul? What do you mean by that, KJ?
They haven't lived too many lifetimes at all.
Ah, okay. They haven't reincarnated a lot.
Right. And so they're playing. They're just kind of oblivious in their own little world playing, and they're okay with that. So they're okay. They're just kids being kids still. They're not in their 20s or anything. They're back to, like, elementary school kid age.
Absolutely. Well, the clock has got us, Kedrick. One more time, where do people get your book, Runes for Transformation?
You can get everywhere. Amazon, your favorite local bookstore. Here in Colorado, Ritual Craft is my favorite store that has it.
So, all right, yeah. My friend. You take care of yourself. In a moment, folks, open lines on Coast to Coast. Sorry we could not get to the rest of you on hold. And I know how it must be feel to lose a loved one. I have several times, and it's a tough feeling. And we'll have him back again, and hopefully we can get you in. We were inundated with phone calls. But just ahead, next hour, open lines on Coast to Coast AM.